and welcome back to episode 7 of Jet Lag, the game, the layover, the Nebbia exclusive podcast, the Japan edition.
Perfect title once again.
Unfortunately, Scotty has died.
And we want to just give a huge shout out to him.
Shout out to his family.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know if anybody saw on Twitter the extended version of Choo Choo Choo, where Sam predicted that Scotty would die in the next 20 years.
Yeah, that was so dark. Why did you say that?
No, for the record, that didn't happen, and this is slander, and I don't know what you're talking about.
Were you implying that we were all gonna die within 20 years, or just Scotty?
I have no idea what you're talking about, and if that did happen, I would say it was a pure coincidence to Scotty's soon-to-come status of death.
But anyway, huge shout-out to Scotty. A great life lived. He built so many iPhones.
He built so many iPhones with so many crazy things that were different about them from normal iPhones.
Yeah, I mean, his channel would have been so much worse if it was just like building iPhones. I mean, a lot of people do that and they don't have very big YouTube channels. They have net.
That was very dark.
That's so true. Most people who build iPhones hardly have any YouTube followers at all.
Well, it is banned there.
And it's because what they're doing is boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know that song, 525,600 minutes, like how do you measure a year?
Oh, yeah. Are you saying we should sing it in memorialism of Scotty from Strange Parts?
No, I just was going to say that I think that we've found the answer, which is how many weird iPhones did you build would be the way to measure a year in the life.
He built like four.
Yeah, so that's four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in entirely unrelated news, Scotty is in China right now.
Dead there. Yep.
But he'll be back alive.
But also filming for his channel, Strange Parts. Basically, between time zones and his filming schedule, it was a little too tough for him to join for this, which is fine. We'll forgive him. But he actually really wanted to be on. It was more our fault that we couldn't find a time between all of us. But yeah, so we will be doing this episode without him, which is sad. And next episode?
We're hoping.
We don't know yet. You'll see. That's the big cliffhanger for this episode. Will the next one be good?
Here's a question for the three of us. Do we think it would be funny to tell everybody to tweet RIP at Scotty and sort of condolences for a life well lived?
So that in like 1 week, Scotty thinks that he's died?
Yeah, like gaslighting him to thinking he's dead. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be fun to like gaslight him into thinking that he died. Right.
I would say to our listeners, if that sounds like a funny idea to you, you can do it if you want.
Well, I think it should be like in memoriam videos and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I only want people doing like a good version of it. Like make it funny, you know?
Right. Like the thing that you would play classily at his funeral. Not like as a joke, like out of respect.
Right. Well, I will say, I feel like this is allowed because he got people on Twitter to spam you, Sam.
Yeah, so we can do this.
Oh, yeah, with airline. In fact, I think it's borderline.
Do you think we'll be invited to Scotty's funeral when he dies?
No.
No?
Probably not.
I would like to be.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you got to work on that. You got to start climbing the social ladder with Scotty.
Well, I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess, well, it's an interesting question. And let's really dive into it. I think if Scotty were to die tomorrow, we would go to his funeral for sure. Well, actually, funerals aren't something you're invited to. I'm actually realizing that now. Funerals are a thing you just attend or not.
Well, it depends how much clout you have. Have you seen a Succession?
I feel like you can get invited to a funeral.
I think that you can get invited. Some funerals are invite only, but most funerals are public events that anyone can attend to pay their respects.
Scotty has a lot of YouTube clout. I don't know if he can accept all the fans at his funeral.
Here's what we're going to say. You guys can guess whether or not Scotty would invite us to his funeral, and then next time we'll ask him if we're allowed to go.
Perfect.
Okay. Moving on.
There might not be a next time, both because of scheduling and potential death reasons.
So that's it this week for the layover. I feel like we covered everything.
Yeah, we nailed it.
Yeah. So there is this show called Jet Lag.
I've heard it's bad.
And there is this episode. This episode is 56 minutes and 20 seconds long, at least in our current draft cut, plus ad read, but I guess not for you because you're on Nebula. But anyways, today's challenge on the layover podcast is, can we do a layover podcast episode that is quicker than the episode itself? Because Adam and Ben have to, where do you have to go actually? You have to go to Amy's comedy show.
No, that's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. Shout out to Amy.
Shout out
to tonight. Originally, we were going to meet our friends just at a bar to catch up. But my cat had surgery today, which went very well, by the way.
And now he has exactly one tooth.
Yeah, he had 16 teeth removed, and now he's got one left.
Is one even useful?
Does that mean he had 17 teeth?
Yeah, he had a total of 17 teeth.
Feels like a weird amount of teeth.
I do kind of agree. It feels like teeth should be an even number for sure.
Shout out to Mr. Cat.
I think I have an idea of what's going on here.
What?
You're trying to kill time so we don't have to talk about your four different catches this episode.
Oh.
Yeah, I got caught. I got caught several times this episode. That is true. I also want to say this is the first time we can reveal that there are seven episodes.
Oh, yeah, true.
And the final one is a very different sort of episode.
Yeah.
I can't believe we have to fly all the way back to Tokyo for the sudden death match.
I know.
Should have thought that through more.
We really should have thought about that with scheduling.
Yeah, I can't wait to find out who wins.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes, I was caught a lot of times. We can walk through them if you'd like. Although I guess the episode doesn't quite start with that.
No. It starts with me and Scotty heading back from Kofu, which was nice. Always good to catch up with Scotty's strange parts. And he did have me do the sideways walk for like 1 second, and it was horrible. I do not know how he did it for so long. He is a trooper.
That was in the cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was the evening where Scotty texted me when he got to his hotel and was like, oh, this might be it, fellas. He was seemingly having a bit of a rough time. And like in the end, he wasn't sick. It was just like pure exhaustion. He kind of felt like he was getting sick. Apparently in the end, it was just like pure exhaustion from all that sideways walking. And keep in mind, I mean, everyone has seen by now, but like all of the other running sequences that he's done through all these episodes. So yeah, he put in the work.
Well, also it's interesting because every single night, all of us made it back to Tokyo, except for this one night, Scotty was in the middle of nowhere when the rest period hit.
Yeah. I mean, if the audience is curious how we did this, it's just kind of a minor behind the scenes production thing. But like, considering that Ben had to return to Tokyo Station, the rest period started at 5, but Ben arrived at 6:30. But that was fine because he had to go back to Tokyo Station. So it just meant that he offset his day after by 90 minutes. So he didn't start until 90 minutes later to account for the same amount of time, just because it's like, why make him stay out in the middle of nowhere with no purpose? But Scotty was not subject to the same rules. He didn't necessarily have to go back. And in fact, do we see this in the episode? Do we see where he posts up?
No.
It's not addressed.
No. I mean, I think it was just largely irrelevant in the end. But Scotty overnighted basically on the train line that they took back in, because originally we weren't sure. We hadn't decided on our side, on our team, whether or not we wanted for him to stay out there and continue to block that flag or come back in. Eventually we decided he should come back in. So he continued on the following morning. But because of that, Scotty, who was the first one to stay anywhere outside of Tokyo just by pure chance, while all the three of us were back in Tokyo for the third night in a row.
And his hotel was crazy. It was huge.
Well, it was cheap. And I felt really bad because he had clearly put in the work. So I booked him like the biggest suite because I was like, it has a bath. It's great. I just felt really bad. I wanted him to be comfortable. And it had a bath. That was the key thing. I figured the bath would be good for the legs. And hopefully it was.
I will say the eagle-eyed viewers will now have figured out that the one clip of Ben and Scotty doing a choo-choo-choo and drinking Bokari Sweat, that is actually from the evening before, but we just popped it in there to give you a quick little Ben and Scotty moment.
Ooh, a little editing magic.
A little editing magic. It all works out the same.
Yeah. This is the type of thing, I mean, this actually is a good example of when people ask us, like, if we, like, muddle up the timeline, we'll do it for things like that, where it's, like, something that is super not important to the way the game played out, but just, like, we wanted a fun little Ben and Scotty moment, so we threw that in there. But like, in no way does that mislead any game element. It's just like some production fact.
Yeah. Or like the thing with Scotty staying out there. I mean, on the graphic, we show Scotty and Ben returning together, but they don't actually. But just it doesn't matter at all to the game. So why introduce the complexity? So we only bring it up for you loyal layover podcast listeners. But anyway, so we get back to Tokyo Station at about 4:30, I believe. So for me, with my veto period, I was donezo for the day. So I just, you know, went immediately to a hotel. It was great. I got a little 30-minute extension to my rest period. Whereas you went on and completed a couple challenges, seemingly pretty efficiently, because I think you completed two of them before the rest period started, right?
I mean, God, I was feeling so good. I got so many coins and like, I did it so fast.
You did the Pokemon one?
I did Pokemon and I did the race one.
What did you spend those Nintendo coins on?
I actually have not spent them yet, but it's in my little drawer. I should use it. That like was not, I think, a super cheap gift card. I think I could buy like a full Switch game with that.
Yeah, I think that was like a $60 card.
Seems like a very eloquent way of embezzling money from the company.
Okay, now I can give a recommendation. I think you should buy the remaster of Advance Wars 1 and 2. Great strategy game. This is my official recommendation on the podcast of a Nintendo Switch game to get.
You know what I might actually buy, though? Wasn't there a remaster of Ocarina of Time? Because I've never played it.
No.
There was a remaster. Not on the Switch. Not on the Switch. Was that on a different console?
Yeah, they did a remaster on the 3DS.
Yeah, obviously.
God damn it. Okay.
If you're wondering, this is like when you hear me go off on airline tangents and stuff, like this sounds like the same way, but in reverse.
Sure.
Like I just start checking Twitter and stuff. But I know I can't criticize you because I know if I criticize you, this was a mistake you made. People would come and at me on Twitter saying, let him say airline facts.
I did get at it a lot.
Or let him talk about Nintendo or something.
Sam hates fun.
It's true.
I enjoy playing Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, that's what I was just talking about. Ocarina of Time is Legend of Zelda game.
Was that the last one? No, Breath of the Wild. During pandemic, I spent an exorbitant amount of money to get a pandemic-priced Nintendo Switch because I was getting really bored. So like double the normal price. And I played Breath of the Wild for a little bit. And I liked it until they started making me do stuff that involved anything more than just like walking around and exploring. Then I gave up. Basically, the second it got hard.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, the sequel, Tears of the Kingdom, is out now. That's what I've been playing for the last little bit.
Good game.
Yeah, so I paid for it. I downloaded it. And then, like, again, the second that they made me start doing difficult things, which was about, I think, literally the first mob encounter, I was like, nah, I ain't about it.
They don't make you do anything in that game. That's the thing. We should keep going.
We definitely should.
So I earned a lot of coins. We know how at the beginning we were like, can we do this in under an hour? So far, we're doing very bad.
Well, we got to do it under an hour. You got to go. I don't know what you have to do with your cat, but you got to do something with your cat.
And I didn't even finish that story, but yes.
Well, yeah, that's because you were trying to delay things.
Anyway.
And you're trying to do it again.
I did those challenges. I remember earlier when Scotty was looking at the cards, he was like, this rice one's going to be really easy. Why is it so many coins? And we were like, what are you talking about? It's going to be so hard to not drop any of them. And he was like, well, they're all going to be so sticky. It'll just be annoying, but it'll be hard. And I was like, okay, I don't know about that. And then we were at breakfast and he like had rice there and I was like, try it. And he tried to do it and he dropped like the first three grains. And I was like, there you go. But it turned out actually he was right. I didn't drop any and it was just sort of annoying, but I got a ton of coins very quickly.
Yep.
Well, it does turn out that sticky rice is sticky.
Yeah. Well, the key was to use rice from an onigiri, which is all very sticky.
Yeah, which is sticky rice. Yeah. Anyways, so basically next day starts, you go do the Wagyu thing, which feels so awkward. Like you interact with it. Like that guy had to be confused because you like went up and was like, I need Wagyu now at 7 a.m. And then you sat down and then just left with leaving like 1,000 yen on the table or something.
Yeah, well, the thing that was tough was I didn't know how much it cost, but it was Wagyu. So I assumed it was expensive.
How much did you leave?
I don't remember, but I know it was kind of a lot because I was like, I have to err on the side of more.
I think you left like 3,000 yen.
Well, it said on the screen.
Yeah, I think I left like 3,000 yen maybe. It's like $30.
Almost as wasteful as Ben leaving 800 yen on a vending machine.
I was also in a hurry and I left less money.
Yeah, but that's a hurry of like 3 seconds of bending down.
Mine at least is justified. I like had to get out of there.
Yours is definitely more justified.
But yeah, it was very uncomfortable. It was like I got in there and this isn't totally in there, but I could not figure out how the goddamn touchscreen worked. I tried so hard to use like Google Lens and stuff to figure it out. And I couldn't. And then I asked the guy for help. And then it seemed like it was going to come quickly, but evidently not quickly enough. And then it's just like, I saw you on your way. And I just had the realization of like, oh my God, I have to leave. Like, I can't stay here. And so I really panicked. I actually first walked out for a half second. And then I was like, oh God, wait, I have to pay. And then I ran back in and left money. And thank God I remembered because that would have been terrible.
Yeah.
I'm noticing after that how many mentions we get of, oh, Sam's tracker's very wrong.
The trackers were a little tricky this season.
What do you mean your tracker was way wrong?
Well, saying that the tracker on where I was when I'm chasing you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I like made them put in a box that was like, Adam's tracker is way off.
I never have made them put in a box when the tracker was wrong.
Nor I. I also got tagged just the day before for the same reason.
No, I know. But the thing is, the only reason I put it in my defense, the reason I put it in is it's extremely confusing what I'm doing. If you don't know that, because I say on camera, I'm like, I have some time here. I've got some space. Like, okay, I have a few minutes here. He's really far away. Like, okay, like I've got a lot of distance on him. Okay. So like, it's just really confused, but I don't like totally say it. I just keep being like, I have space, I have space. And then like, I go to like take my jacket off and stuff. So it's really confusing why I do that if you don't understand that yeah. I checked the tracker and it was wrong.
Well, it's weird because it's not that like the tracker, because sometimes the tracker bubble gets really big and we show that we're like, yes. Oh, we can't tell where they are. But sometimes it stays small, but it just doesn't update for a few minutes. And that can really get you.
Yeah. Anyway, so I catch you, pretty straightforward. One minor thing that I noticed actually is I'm pretty sure the subway station that we both run into that you see in this, it's the same one that Ben runs into when Scotty is chasing him like a couple episodes ago.
I think it is. What, like Yurikucho station or something?
I don't know.
I didn't even realize.
But it
that.
Makes sense because I think Ben's also started that from the same, that's like Shimbashi station, right?
Yeah, it was also Shimbashi, yeah.
The other thing that I'm noticing in this is that do you know what that red and white tower is called that's kind of iconic?
Tokyo Tower, yeah.
I believe it's Tokyo Tower.
Tokyo Tower. So I did not once like recognize that I saw that tower, despite the fact that it's clearly visible here on the entire trip, which just shows how much like tunnel vision you have.
Wait, what? It is? I edited that sequence and I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it was definitely visible.
It's like right in the background of that shot.
That's funny.
Like very clearly. But like, I don't remember seeing that tower once. And like, it's an iconic thing. So like, I feel like it's the kind of thing you would remember. But it just shows like, yeah, how much tunnel vision we have when we're doing
yeah,
this.
Yeah, you're just so tunnel vision.
Because we were both racing back to Tokyo Station. And then I think, you know, kind of the next thing we see is Adam, I feel like it starts to really set in at that point what our strategy is of just defense, defense, defense. There's kind of that shot mm-hmm. as we're walking back to Tokyo Station together through that corridor of science projects. Still very confused about that. It seems like you kind of realize there, right?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because it's like, you know, in the audience's mind, it's like they know that that's your strategy now. But like, you have to keep in mind, like on our end, whenever you're making a decision, and this is in some ways a lot of the complexity of this game, is like, you have to be considering everything your opponent might do. You have to be considering like, one of them could go on defense, both of them could go on defense, one of them could go for the near flag, one of them could go for the far flag, both of them could go for the far flag, both of them could go for the near, like... And you have to make decisions thinking through all of the ways that someone could respond. So it makes it very complicated. So like when I figured out that that was your plan, it actually in some ways was kind of freeing because it was like, well, I know what they're going to do. So like I just have to deal with that.
Right.
Although I remember we still for a while were considering like, there was a world where like Scotty could have gone for like the midfield flag and maybe like gotten it back for a while. And that was something we were worried about for quite a bit. Like I would actually argue for what it's worth. It did ultimately obviously work, but I don't know it was your best strategy to both go on defense. I think that you probably could have had one person go and get the midfield flag and one person defend. And it probably would have been about as effective. Like for example, when you caught us in Odawara the first time, Scotty had nothing to do with that. Scotty was like not even nearby.
Right. But I feel like if we had gone 1v2, the clear thing for you two to have done would just be split up. One goes for the far flag, one goes for the medium flag.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true. Well, we wouldn't have had the coins
We wouldn't have been able to do that.
Yeah, but like that's impossible to predict from our perspective. And we had predicted wrong many times.
Yeah,
that's fair.
But from our perspective, this just felt low risk in a situation where all we had to do was force a timeout. We were very confident in the plan, to be honest, because we had seen how easy defense was. I would say I was surprised at how close y'all came to actually getting through the plan in the end.
Towers.
We were too.
But you were lucky. Like, objectively, there was a lot of luck involved.
So the first time I get caught, the tracker was way off. As you can see, I'm devastated because I had a lot of coins. Like I was nearing enough coins to get all the way to the far flag on my own. And then to lose all of them.
I remember being surprised how devastated you were because I thought it was pretty clear what our plan was at that point. It was clear that like from my side, I just assumed that it was 100% clear. But from your side, you were still a little bit on the fence about what we were doing.
I wasn't devastated by figuring out your plan. I was just devastated that you caught me and took all my coins.
Yes, but that's I was surprised that you were surprised that I caught you, basically.
Well, I did really think that the vampire tower would scare you away.
Yeah, but I guess that gets into run two, right? Because that's when the Vampire Tower.
Well, the Vampire Tower was up for runs one and two.
Oh, was it? Okay. Well, I guess like that's what really makes it clear that I didn't really care, the fact that I was going to Vampire Tower, because as we, I think, point out in it, like we were allowed to go negative. We designed that with exactly kind of this in mind. So, you know, in a situation where I don't really care about my coin balance because there is no more use for coins, basically, because we're only going to spend our time on the defensive zone. You know, the fact that I'm going so brazenly in doesn't really matter. I wasn't fully there. One thing that you don't see, actually, is that I was rushing back to Tokyo Station after both run one and two in order to reduce the amount of time in the Vampire Zone, just in case our plan changed or something. There was actually a little bit of a moment where Adam and I both got on the wrong direction of the metro, which prolonged the time in the Vampire Zone. Adam insists it was a mistake, but it would have been a pretty crafty mood to try to lead me in the wrong direction. Because I remember we were both like, is this the right way? And like, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is the right way.
Yeah, but then we were able to get on the right train very quickly, which was annoying.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a big deal in the end. And at the end of the second run, I sprinted back to Tokyo Station, like full on, fast as possible sprint to get out of the Vampire Zone as fast as possible, just because, you know, I needed some exercise and stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, the second run, that was tough. I feel like a lot went wrong for me there.
You kept getting in trouble.
Yeah, I kept getting yelled at. I mean, I did try to jaywalk in front of five police officers. That was not a great...
Across a very big road.
Yeah, it was a thing where, like, as you've noticed, the whole season I haven't jaywalked because I was too afraid to. But in this one moment, I was so worried about getting caught. I was like, I'm going to jaywalk this one time. And the one time I did it, there was a line of police officers on bikes across the street.
Did they like gesture to you or anything?
Yeah, they like whistled at me. And then I turned around and then I was like, oh my God, am I going to get arrested or something?
That would have been funny.
Yeah, that was bad.
We should have an Adam gets yelled at counter for the season.
And then, I mean, the second one, I really don't think is my fault. There's just like a gravel area around this park that you're only allowed to walk on. Like you're allowed to run in the other parts of the park.
There were signs.
But you only walk on the... Why? Why? That's so weird.
It's like respect or... I don't know.
But the areas right next to it that are closer...
I have no idea.
...to the Imperial Palace you can run in. Like, what?
Yeah, I have no real idea, but there were signs. I will...
Were they in English?
Yes. I don't speak Japanese.
Okay, so. Well, I didn't notice them.
Yeah. Anyways, not much more to say about that run. It was pretty quick.
It's just so brutal that the Imperial Palace was closed. It's like, I just didn't know that.
Yeah. And all of this happens before Ben is even released, before that 90 minutes that Ben is waiting to start his day, including the two 30-minute jail periods.
Yeah.
Which shows you how fast things went down. But then Ben's in the game.
I had a nice leisurely morning and I was just sitting there getting these texts, got caught again. I was like, all right.
Yeah. But I mean, Ben comes into the game and it's like, it's clear that I don't think that stalemate realistically would have ended without Ben coming into the game.
I needed...
Like 1v1, it seemed like I was just always able to, you know, catch you eventually within Tokyo. So Ben coming in definitely changed the game. And, you know, the key bit seemingly was that with the collective sum of both of y'all's starting bonus, so 250 and 250 each, that gets you not only to Yokohama, but to the next Shinkansen stop past it.
Barely. Yeah, it's exactly the distance.
Yeah, just like really right on the line. Yeah.
Yeah. Odawara.
Yes.
Odawara. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure like that was pretty clearly your best strategy. I mean, I think we even see that fun clip where I like say like, this is their best strategy. And then y'all say, this is our best strategy. And we're all in agreement.
Well, it was annoying. And I think we have this in the episode where it's like, it was annoying that you knew what we were going to do because there was really only one thing we could attempt to do.
Yeah. Like, we thought about something, like, even if we could do, like, something non-optimal, but just that would throw them off, but there was really, like, one thing we could do, which was, like, go to that station and try and do a challenge.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I think that when we were designing the game, we believed it would be very hard to tag somebody in the Tokyo Metro area. Because based on our experience in Paris and tag, when you guys had a lot of trouble tagging me in Paris because it was a big city. But it turned out in Japan, that was less of an issue for some reason. Like,
well, trackers were just a lot more accurate in general.
Yeah.
They were more accurate. I also think a lot of it in Paris was that, like, there was a lot of underground stuff.
That,
like,
was it.
When we couldn't catch you, you were underground. Right.
That is true. I did a lot of hanging out underground.
Yeah. And I think also just like in Europe, you tend to have those really old buildings with big, you know, like thick walls that I think kind of mess with GPS. So I think, like, genuinely just tracker accuracy made a lot of the difference.
And I also think the last thing is, like, I mean, obviously I was in the disguise at that point in tag, but also, like, we just stick out more in Tokyo. We are very easy to spot in Tokyo. We are not that easy to spot in Paris.
Yeah.
Especially in a crowd.
Yep. True. But yeah, so I think Scotty and I, we obviously had a good guess, but we were willing to put in the time by following around the station to confirm. And at that point, you know, it was really just down to the frequency of the trains. I mean, basically there was a Shinkansen from Tokyo to Odawara every 30 minutes.
Except for the first time.
For some reason.
Yeah, for some reason.
I still cannot figure out why that was the case that one time.
It was just like this weird thing where that train for like the one time got scheduled. Yeah, I don't know.
It was so upsetting.
Yeah, I guess I forgot about that. Yeah, it was way quicker. But yeah, so we just, I mean, literally hop on the train a couple minutes later, follow you down.
Well, do we want to talk briefly at all about all of us hanging out together in that one station? That was sort of a funny little period of time.
I guess that was the first time that that really happens.
First time with all four of us, yeah.
In the game context rather than at Tokyo Station. That was kind of fun because I guess what happened was we had split up so that Scotty was here in Shinagawa, right?
It was Shinagawa, I believe.
Yeah, Shinagawa. I was at Tokyo Station just to split up options. And then you both went here. I came down here to Shinagawa. And we all have a great little communal meetup. Because we had not actually seen each other. Like, I had not seen Scotty since the prior morning when we split up at the start of the round. So it's like, great to see him after all that work.
And this was the first time Ben and I had really spent much time together at all, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice that we finally got to compete as a team.
Yeah, as you can see, I'm like kind of joking, but I'm getting increasingly frustrated that whole time. I like am kidding around, but I also am like, it felt like I was trapped in like a prison that I just like couldn't escape from, which was like,
well, you kind of were.
I was just trying to get out of this area and I couldn't do it.
I mean, it was just tough because we just had no other option. It's like when you're on the playground and like the annoying kid is following you around and like you can't hit him even though you want to.
I think we have a clip in there somewhere, but like from my side, I was fully aware of how annoying this strategy was to both of you eventually, but especially to Adam with those first few and to the audience. But it was genuinely the best strategy in my mind. I don't mean to be so annoying, but yeah, totally understand how annoying it would be from the other side of the equation.
Yeah, well, it's funny too. I think we leave in one clip where you say that, but there are like five clips where you just say direct to camera, like, I know this is really annoying,
yeah,
but I am doing it.
I felt bad and I want to give options.
I felt okay because I got to do that to you before.
Yeah. Yeah, the other thing to keep in mind is like, this kind of returned us to kind of a day one level of intensity in terms of like intensity of the game, especially for Adam and I from the start, because, you know, when we're doing these long runs out to places that only have trains every 60 minutes or so, there's a good amount of time where we can like, you know, sit down, go to the bathroom, grab some food, chill out, kind of just like reset through everything, you know, on the trains or in the stations and everything. But when we're in Tokyo and when we're right around Tokyo, it is go, go, go. So, you know, like Adam and I are just running around for the first like 2 hours of the day. And then the train to Odawara, despite the distance, is only like 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's also just like starting to get exhausting again as a day. It's probably amped up the frustration. But yeah, I mean, luckily Odawara was a cool spot. One thing that was notable to me was just like, it was really clear the second you got off there how touristy it was, because like a quarter of the people in the station were Westerners, which was like pretty notable because I guess a lot of people go for that castle.
Cool castle.
Or something.
Yeah.
It was a great castle.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was certainly a cool spot. I mean, you picked a cool spot to post up. So, I mean, basically what happens is Scotty and I split up. Scotty's pretty wiped. So we kind of send me to, y'all were kind of in this park, obviously, that the castle was in, and we wanted to flank the different exits. So I kind of ran ahead, and that's why I was the one who ended up, you know, doing the catch and everything, because Scotty was kind of posting up at the exits. It was so confusing So, well, I guess the audience knows. It's pretty clear. I'm sure this moment will get plenty memed or joked about or stuff. But like, I was so confused because I got to the exact spot where you all were on the tracker. And I went to exactly where it would make sense. Like, I was thinking like, oh, I know that there's a card that involves going to a museum. This is pretty clearly a museum. So it's like, okay, gonna gain entry to this museum. I even asked the people at the front. I don't remember if this makes it in, but like, I'm looking for my friends.
Oh, it does. And it's so funny.
Well, they were very confused.
Oh my gosh. Well, explain when you get there, and then because it's afterwards that you talk to the ladies. That's like my favorite.
Well, also like when we got to that museum, because we didn't know anything about the museum. All we knew is that it was called like the Odawara Samurai Museum. And we were just like, God, like, I hope there's somewhere to hide. And it's maybe not even fully clear in the footage, but it's one room. Like you go up the stairs and then there's one room.
Small.
And there's like a screen at the far end of the room where there was like a dark corner. And we were just like, fuck, like there's literally nowhere to hide. All we can do is sit in this dark corner.
And there were like four people in it, if that. So like, I feel like I was set up to failure by them not really clearly saying, oh yeah, your friends are here or something. And I was like, I'm looking for two white boys. They're probably here. I don't know if I said that.
They didn't understand what you were talking about. They didn't speak English.
They kind of spoke English. They got it a little bit.
A little bit.
They understood like friends.
It's so funny.
Let me explain just so it's clear
what
kind of happens. So like I get to this thing and it's kind of confusing because you can kind of, this building, you can kind of like walk under it at a bit. It's like a gate kind of thing. So there's like definitely multiple layers. And the tracker was pretty confident. Like it was pretty clear that you were at this end of this wing of the building.
Yeah.
And of course, there were two of you.
We had been there for a very long time in the exact same spot.
Yeah. And there were two of you. So like, it was pretty clear that like there was no tracker error because it'd be really weird if both of you had like a tracker error into the same spot. So I went in and the problem was it was so bright out and the room was already dark. And then the spot that I went to in the back, it was like the screening room. And I could not see anything because my eyes had not properly adjusted. I could not see a thing. Like genuinely, I was like worried about like running into stuff because I was so blind, but I could see that there were two people watching who were not y'all. So like, I don't know how clear this is in the episode. Maybe this is obvious, but like I turn on my flashlight for a second. I guess that's when I see the two people and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Cause I didn't want to disturb them. They're watching the movie because I was going to search the room. Like it was immediately clear to me, like this would be a great spot to hide.
Well, the thing is, since we had been in there for so long, we could fully clearly see
our eyes had adjusted. So we could 100% see.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because like, and I hope that it comes from the footage because the problem with the footage is, I mean, your story here, Sam, is backed up by the fact like your camera doesn't see us at all. Like, cause your camera is totally blown out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like.
But we can see you.
We can see you.
Yeah.
Yeah, partially because you're backlit.
What was so confusing then is like, despite the fact that I thought like, oh, there's pretty good likelihood they're here, I kind of like moved on and was like, okay, they're not here, even though I didn't search it fully because I was still like there and there was not a big room. And I thought like the chance of y'all hiding in the corner with people in there, were the people in there when you hid?
Yeah.
Originally?
No, they walked in later.
What if they had noticed you?
There were people in there when we entered, but then those people left and other people came in.
Oh, that's right.
I think those two guys are who the lady thought you were asking about.
Because they then went to the
castle. Because they had left.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah. Oh my gosh. The thing though is like, you looked directly at us. Like you can't really tell on camera, but you literally looked right at us. We thought for a second, I did at least, that you were catching us. I was like, oh, he got us.
I thought you were, maybe like fucking with us or something. Like it was very unclear what was even going on.
And then when you walked out, we just like could not believe what just happened.
We were like, oh my God.
Technically, I got footage of y'all, but under the rules, you have to know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is
Well, it's funny too, because, and this is a subtle thing that we put in a text box to make it clear in the edit, but the Samurai Light show is bright at parts and very dark at parts.
Yeah.
And like right before you walked in, it went to the darkest part of the Samurai show. And you can tell because like when you watch, we're very clearly lit. And then all of a sudden we're completely in the dark. And that was when you walked in.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. If you had even just stood there for like another minute until the show
for 30
changed.
More seconds. If you had gotten there 20 seconds earlier, you would have seen us immediately because it was bright white light on the Samurai.
Man.
Brutal.
Yeah. But that, I mean, when people have asked, we've said Samurai Museum is the favorite. Like, that's my favorite. It's the funniest thing that happens.
Well, it was so great because it was so late in the game. And we kind of thought like we were wrapping up the game. We're like, there aren't going to be any more like super crazy funny moments. But that was great.
I mean, for it to happen in a samurai museum too, like the music and everything, like it was pretty awesome.
With the cool castle and stuff.
I know. Yeah, it's pretty sick.
My Be Real went off right outside there. It made for like my best Japan Be Real of the season because it's with the castle and everything. But it's like as I'm very frustratedly sitting at the picnic bench there being like, where could they possibly be?
And that's when we managed to throw down the ice tower, which ultimately was not all that helpful.
Yeah. Anyways, so back to Tokyo again. Like Scotty was able to get back to the station pretty quickly. I had to do the dice roll back to the station, so it took me a while. But we both had to wait for ended up being the same train anyway. So I think we get back to Tokyo just as y'all are leaving Tokyo, 30 minutes behind, because again, trains are every 30 minutes. And then it turns out we're going straight back. This time, the only difference is like, we thought there was a chance that y'all would go to Yokohama. It wouldn't have made sense, but just in case, we took the train. There are more frequent trains to Yokohama, which is the closer Shinkansen stop. So we took the train to Yokohama, then waited for the one 30 minutes after y'all's train to Odawara. And then y'all do stuff once again at the castle.
Yep. We did some squats. We pulled the find something interesting and we got really close to not getting that one.
Yeah, we barely managed to pull that off.
I mean, but being at one of Japan's most famous tourist sites was pretty lucky.
No, I think that there are lots of places where if we had pulled that...
Yeah, we would have been in trouble.
Yeah.
I think probably the majority of places outside of Tokyo that we've been this season, you would have really struggled with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To find a YouTube video over 100,000.
That worked out. What was that channel? Who were those people?
It's like some walking tour thing. Like,
I don't know. Should we even say who they are? What if they're like Nazis?
I don't think they're Nazis. Life in Japan. A stunning day. Now it has 139,000 views.
Oh, good for them.
Wow.
Shout out to them for getting enough views.
Unless they're Nazis.
Yeah, unless they're Nazis. But yeah, it's true because all the other videos are like 714 views, 4,200 views. Seemingly it's just these people.
Yeah.
So it is worth now, I think, going into the pretty quick moments that happen that lead to the, I don't know, brief moment of hope and ultimate heartbreak for y'all's final run. So we knew pretty much from our side that this was pretty make or break, this run. We had been able to do the math ahead of time, and we saw that we were kind of getting to the point in the day where it was mathematically going to get impossible for you to get to the flag and back just based on how long it takes on trains before the 5 p.m. rest period start. So we were getting increasingly confident. And to be honest, I think we were getting a little bit overconfident because even when you have those towers dropped at Odawara Station, I don't think we matched the level of urgency that we maybe should have because we thought that just like, okay, we'll do these, then they're just going to run out of coins again. Once again, I think kind of underestimating y'all's coin balance and stuff like that. There were definitely different ways that we could have played that. So I think just to walk it through, and honestly, even I'm struggling to remember exactly, but I think first thing that happens is you drop the tower. That means we have to get 4 liters of water, right?
The gravity tower, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, there was a vending machine right there that it was like we could pretty easily just get them. So I started on that right away. I think the mistake that we made, well, so the thing is with towers like that, we do have the rule that like you have to do that immediately. So similar to the pizza tower, like you cannot like do really anything on the way to getting pizza. Similar to that with the gravity tower, you cannot really do anything productive on the way to getting water. So that includes, for example, trying to nab a tag shot down the line of the platform or something like that. So I don't think that would have counted anyways. But then what y'all dropped next is, what was the next one?
That was
one?
It. We Th- only that dropped
was, that
one.
Was all, you dropped two
you
towers.
You dropped two towers.
Oh, yeah. We dropped towers. Yeah. And y'all were ridiculously lucky. I think our mistake was that we had at least one more tower that we didn't
you
drop.
You did.
You did. You had an odd tower, maybe.
Oh, yeah. It was an odd tower, but it didn't apply there. That's the thing. I think we thought of putting it.
It did. It would have applied, I believe, actually.
Would that have stopped us from getting on that train?
No, I'm pretty sure we looked.
I thought it wouldn't have.
No, it would have, because we had an odd tower as well, and we considered using it on you, but we didn't, because we thought this would be enough.
I was confused, because we definitely researched. Maybe we got it wrong. Like, genuinely, it was possible, but, like, we had researched for this exact application, and thought it didn't apply. So that's why I was confused seeing in the edit you thinking that it would have.
I believe it would have, because I remember we pull it. It says you can only take trains that leave at odd numbered times. And I looked, and that train left at an even time, which means if there was an odd tower, whoever was affected by it could not take
the last digit was the last an even
digit,
time?
Based on the last digit.
I can't remember.
Well, one of us got it wrong at least.
But anyway, the point is that you guys dropped the jail tower. We somehow rolled. I mean, I think the real thing was you just didn't consider that we might roll doubles on the first try.
Well, yeah.
And frankly, if we hadn't, that would have been it.
Yeah.
Well, it's a 1 in 6 chance, right?
Well, also, I mean, you guys were able to get the 4 liters of water probably more quickly than we had anticipated.
Yeah. Well, but you still didn't get them in time to get on the train.
No,
it was the only thing that mattered.
Yeah.
Because it's funny, that clip where you're like, where are they? And then you're like, wait, they're on the train?
Yeah.
Like, you hadn't even considered that.
Well, because we thought we dropped it and like, I mean, 1 in chance is not technically no chance, but like, it's, you know, it's a pretty low chance.
That was awesome when that happened.
Was awesome.
Yeah, but ultimately, I don't think there was actually much we could have done. Like, again, I don't know about the odd tower. Like, in our minds, I pretty directly remember we could have gotten it wrong, but we thought it didn't apply there because we would have dropped that for sure. Because the thing is, the trains all left at the same 30-minute interval. Mm-hmm. So it would have, like, shut down the station. So we looked, but again, very much might have gotten it wrong, which is annoying if we did. But anyways, beyond that, I'm not sure that there's really much we could have done. I don't remember if we had the balance to draw more.
No, I mean, it worked out well for us. I mean, I think we played it well, and I think it worked out well.
Yeah.
You know, we bought a lot of towers. We were hoping we'd get a good one. We got out of there. I have seen discourse online criticizing the tower mechanism, saying it's too powerful. And I want to say that, like, without towers, I think that offense was going to be too hard. Like, towers are helpful on defense, but I think they're more helpful in terms of leveling it out so that you can do offense.
Well, I will also say again, I don't know if I've said this, but like, we didn't think they were going to be that good. Like, when we had played with them before, we were like, these are okay, but they're probably not going to be that useful. And then
I think we saw a lot of just like both like smart and opportune uses of towers that were kind of beyond what we anticipated. But some of it, I think, was just, again, like opportune, like just a little bit lucky with how we were able to use them. They were definitely powerful. But anyways, the next thing I think worth quickly explaining is why Scotty and I split up. It ultimately didn't matter, but there was mathematically a way y'all could have made it to the second flag and back in time. So considering we thought it was pretty safe either way, because like in our minds, we were still not too panicked because we realized that the chances of y'all successfully making it to either of the flags and back were still very low. It was a little bit ambiguous on the line. Well, the thing is, keep in mind, it's not actually back. It's just 40 miles back. That seemed to be very low likelihood from our perspective, a little bit maybe lower than it actually was because y'all had managed to earn coins pretty quickly. So we thought, you know, you probably needed more coins than you ended up needing, but still we thought the chances were low. So we figured might as well split up because we wanted to shut down that second flag. So I go do that. Scotty goes after y'all. And that's kind of the last you see of me because ultimately you guys didn't. Did you even consider that second flag option or you just were always?
No. No, we were just going for the third flag.
Well, the logic of the second flag is it required a lot less coins to get there, which was why I thought you might do it.
Yeah, but weirdly, it was actually slower to get there because of the regional lines.
It was definitely slower, yeah.
And it was more significantly, like, I think we could have gotten there in around the same amount of time, but then getting 50 miles back would have taken too long, so we didn't have a chance with that.
It was really borderline.
Because even to do that with the far flag, and people are going to dunk on us for our mistake.
I wouldn't call it a mistake.
Not even a mistake.
It was the disaster.
Mistake, yeah. But like, it was pretty unlikely that we were going to make it anyway. Because like, we would have had to time everything exactly perfectly and still somehow not get caught on the way back. Like, it would have been really hard.
Yeah, because Scotty would have only been 30 minutes behind, if that.
We were going to have to be making like transfers that would take like 4 minutes in like 1 minute.
And like beelining it on foot.
Yeah, like it was going to be pretty tough. But what we said, which is true, is like that was why we pulled that card, was that we didn't have the coins. So the only way we were going to be able to pull this off was if we had exactly planned out how to complete whatever the challenge was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was the best move, but it was a very low likelihood move.
It was not great.
It was a very unlikely path to victory. But that's what you have to do. And as we talked about, I think in context of many seasons, like if things aren't going your way, you ratchet up the risk reward calculus. Take on more risk, get the potential for more reward, even if that potential is a low likelihood. But, you know, that's the way to play it rather than just kind of do the medium risk, medium reward thing. But that's like, I mean, pretty much it.
We made Scotty run sideways again. That was very funny
to
me.
That was funny.
I thought it was funny that we did that.
It's kind of rude.
I love that shot of him all the way in the distance shuffling his way towards us. And yeah, now we're going into the time break.
Sudden death over time.
It's not really sudden death. That's kind of like...
Yeah, but it sounds cool.
I would say in many ways that's not accurate the way that it's structured.
The thing about overtime is like there was basically, yeah, 1 in 4 chance of it happening.
Going into the game. There was a 1 in 2 chance by the time we got to round 3.
Going into the game, yeah. But like we planned for it, but I think in our minds it was like, probably won't happen. So the thing is, overtime happens the following morning. We started at 7 a.m., I think, right?
I think that's right. 6 yeah. a.m. maybe.
My flight out of Japan was 4 p.m. that day.
Yeah.
So I won't tell you exactly how it worked out, but it basically meant it was the only time I think I have done a day of jet lag, completed, and then flown internationally all in one day. So it felt very like pro athlete-esque, you know, because we are pro athletes, of course.
True.
It was a little stressful. But honestly, like normally in most jet lag games, if you came to me at the end and was like, we got to do more of this, I would be devastated because we're so exhausted. But this season was just so much fun that I was like ready for a couple more hours of it. It was definitely, I think, one of the most fun and weirdly least exhausting ones.
And as you'll see, the tiebreaker, we really shake things up. It's a pretty chaotic, fun way to end the game.
Yeah, that bit gets exhausting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that is, I think, the extent of what we want to say about it. And it all comes down to it. I mean, in the wise words of that guy at the end of episode 1, basically that means that everything you've seen up to this point is meaningless.
Yeah, people, it turns out, didn't like us saying that at the end of the episode. No, people were upset about that.
We went back and forth on whether we should include that because we thought it was funny, but like we thought it might make some people go, hey, wait a minute. And apparently
yeah,
it did. It's about the journey, not the destination. If you wanted to just see who won, you could just skip to the end of episode last.
Yeah.
Skip to the end of episode last.
Yeah.
All right.
And we're at the end of episode last right now, this episode of The Layover.
True.
Yep. Wise words. Anyway, we'll see you next week. Well, hear you next week or talk to your ears next week with or without Scotty. We're not really sure. We actually need to figure out when we're recording because we have some travel coming up, actually.
We have some travel plans.
This may come as a shock to you all.
Yeah. So we have to think about when we're recording next episode. Anyways, bye.
Bye.